Hello again. You're listening to the News at One. In a little under 3.5 hours from now, Joseph R. Biden Jr. will be inaugurated 46th President of the United States of America. At 5 o'clock Irish time, on the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, the scene of mob violence just 2 weeks ago, former Vice President Biden will take the oath of office and the reins of power. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has already said he'll look forward to welcoming Mr. Biden to Ireland during his presidency. President Trump has, in the last few minutes, left the White House for Andrews Air Force Base and his departure ceremony. He won't be attending the inauguration of his successor. Well, let's talk about what might be in prospect in the Biden presidency with Niall Stanage, who's White House columnist with The Hill, based in Washington, D.C., and our Washington correspondent, Brian O'Donovan. They're both on the line. Brian, perhaps I can come to you, first of all. The scene at the moment, we've just in the last little while had the departure of Donald Trump from the White House, and soon we'll be getting ever closer to the inauguration in just a few hours' time.
Yes, so Donald Trump leaving the White House for the last time. He is due to travel to Andrews Air Force Base, Brian. There'll be a ceremony there, a send-off farewell ceremony for him at that Air Force Base. Interestingly, his Vice President, Mike Pence, not expected to attend that send-off ceremony. He will instead attend Joe Biden's inauguration. Donald Trump will then board Air Force One for the last time and travel to Florida, where he will then go to his Mar-a-Lago resort. Right now, Brian, I'm speaking to you from the National Mall. That's the long strip of land in front of the Capitol building, a piece of land in the middle of Washington that would normally be packed with thousands and thousands of people on Inauguration Day. Today, there is nobody here. Instead, there are 200,000 flags that have been planted into the ground to represent those who would have come here if they could have. But of course, we are in unprecedented times. A security lockdown and a pandemic has meant no members of the public will be at today's inauguration.
And Joe Biden wasting no time, even in advance of his inauguration, publishing a list of executive orders that he plans in, I presume, the first few hours potentially of his presidency.
You're right, you are talking hours, because he will be sworn into office at 12 noon Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Irish Time. There's then some ceremonial stuff. He'll review the troops. There will be a small-scaled back parade. A lot of it will be virtual. He will then go to the White House. And yes, he'll get to work straight away. He is planning on signing executive orders this evening, hours after he's been sworn into office. His key priorities will be focused on tackling the coronavirus pandemic, also looking at the area of climate change, wanting the U.S. to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. But there's an uphill battle ahead for Joe Biden. Lots on his agenda, lots for him to do. And the biggest challenge, of course, of all, Brian, will be trying to unite what is an incredibly divided America right now after an incredibly divisive election. And remember, there are still millions of people out there who believe these falsehoods, that this election was stolen and that Joe Biden is not their democratically elected president.
Niall Stanage of The Hill, I think we're pretty familiar. Anyone who's seen and followed previous U.S. inaugurations of presidents taking the oath and then promising in their inauguration speech to bring the country together again. And Biden presumably will be saying something similar today, but he perhaps faces a more divided United States than any of his predecessors within living memory. Can he do it? Can he heal up the wounds?
I don't think he can fully heal them, Brian, to be perfectly honest, but I do think that he can bring the temperature down somewhat. President Trump has governed for 4 years in a way that has quite consciously inflamed division. Trump very consciously played to his base and sought to antagonize others. That isn't Biden's style. He will be trying to bring the country together to put some balm on those wounds. But as Brian mentioned, I mean, less than 20% of Republican voters believe that Joe Biden won the presidency legitimately. That is a real problem for any democracy and a real problem for Mr. Biden.
One of his first big tests perhaps might be this $1.9 trillion COVID-19 package, which he's promising. But right from the start, he's going to need Republican cooperation, isn't he, if he wants to get that through the House and the Senate?
Yes, I mean, there are some rather arcane rules he can use to minimize that level of Republican cooperation, but he is going to need some of that. And that's going to be one of the key early questions. Are some Republicans willing to back him on at least COVID-related matters? There are three or four Republicans in the Senate who have definitely telegraphed their willingness to be more moderate, that have broken with President Trump. But nonetheless, it is a very divided country. The political incentives are oftentimes lined up for polarization rather than cooperation.
The Democratic Party, of course, which he leads, is also a very broad church, Niall, if I can describe it in that way. And there are those, particularly on the left, who will be pressing an agenda which might run up against some resistance, is it fair to say, in the White House, particularly in terms of his approach so far and cabinet appointments. How do you think he's going to deal with that issue?
Well, he has sought to sort of balance those appointments between the centre or centre-left, which is very much his own ground, and more progressive or left-wing appointments to things like the Council for Economic Advisers. Right now, I think that the left on the Democratic Party is relieved that Donald Trump is departing, obviously happy that Biden won. That binds the party together to some degree. But I think within a few months, Brian, you're certainly going to see the left being more vocal in its demands. And frankly, you know, progressives like, say, Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez don't really see Joe Biden as one of them. Biden is a much more moderate figure, a sort of Clintonian figure in a way. And that isn't what progressives want. It's not what they sought in the Democratic primary process. So those tensions could easily bubble to the surface.
And a word about what we might see within the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell, other Republican leaders now, even at this very late stage, I suppose, distancing themselves from the Trump presidency, trying to, I suppose, to some extent, regain control of the party. Is there going to be a battle within the Republican Party in the weeks and months ahead?
There certainly is, but the question is whether it is really viable for the Republican Party to cut itself off, not just from Mr. Trump personally, but for Trumpism. I mean, Donald Trump is by far the most popular Republican with Republican voters in the country. There is now, of course, this rather belated separation that is being sought by Mitch McConnell and by other Republican leaders, but electorally speaking, they can't really do without Trump's voters. That's the central conundrum. They might want to be rid of the taint that he has given to their party among the broader public, but there's no path forward for them if they lose the people who voted for Donald Trump.
Just finally, if I might go back to Brian O'Donovan. Brian, I see that Donald Trump has arrived at the Andrews Air Force Base. He's now addressing, seems to be a crowd of supporters who've been assembled there. Do we know what's next for him?
Well, we know immediately what's next. He'll get on Air Force One, travel to Florida and go to Mar-a-Lago. But I think, Brian, very telling in his goodbye video address, which was released last night, he spoke about how he was wishing the new administration well. He touted his achievements. He spoke about all the things he had achieved. He said, I set out to achieve so much and I believe I have achieved more. And the parting words in that video message were that the movement he has started is only just beginning. So, of course, many people looking at this massive vote of 75 million votes that Donald Trump got in the last election saying, well, he may very well run in 2024. Right. Of course, he could be scuppered from doing that if the Senate impeachment trial were to not go his way and that he could be blocked from running from office. Yeah. But Trumpism won't go away. That movement won't go away, Brian. There's still a huge rock solid support base there.
Brian, we'll let you go because I think you're going to be on television with our colleagues, Katrina Perry and others from, I think, 3 o'clock this afternoon for coverage of the inauguration. And thanks to you. Thanks also to Niall Stanage for joining us with that.